Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Radio that you control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number here. That's 603-283-6160, and with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Riley,
and Nikki,
and we have some really interesting news to talk about tonight. The president of Argentina, Javier Milei, everybody is always criticizing him for being a World Economic Forum member, and it's not a bad criticism. I don't blame them. And I continue to be skeptical that Javier Milei is not maybe some kind of a fall guy on purpose, but I don't want to be negative. It's just that I've never had a reason to be positive about a politician. So.
Yeah, honestly.
I don't think any of us have. I mean, we've seen politicians lie to us before, so
yeah.
What's another one going to lie to us about?
But, so, he's a World Economic Forum member, and people have often pointed that out, like, oh my gosh, that's a really bad thing, because those are really bad people for the most part. They're people that came out with the idea of, you will have nothing, and you'll be happy. Their 2030 agenda.
Yep, eating bugs.
Yeah, generally the World Economic Forum types are these global elitists that want to fly around their private jets and tell you, hey, you got to reduce your carbon footprint while they fly around their private jets.
Yep, those exact types, and 15-minute city types, those types of people that just want you to rent everything from the government in the future and own nothing. But Javier Milei, right before going in to speak, there was somebody in Spanish asking him, so what's your game plan for today? And he was like, I'm going to confront these people about their 2030 agenda.
I'm surprised they invited him.
Well, he's a member. So maybe they just didn't know how radical he was, and he became president, and now he's, like, letting loose.
Oh, maybe.
And I listened to the whole speech today, and there was nothing to criticize. It was really good.
Yeah.
It's, like, at this point, it's just words, but really good words. And I'm not saying that it will necessarily change the World Economic Forum people's minds or something, but it's great that this is getting out there on such a big platform.
Of course.
Good ideas.
I mean, you get it. Started somewhere, and if he's spouting the ideas of liberty on a public platform like with the World Economic Forum, then someone's going to listen.
He's also been doing a lot of stuff.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. He slashed, I don't even remember how many.
Like 9 out of 21 departments.
So, and that's
government.
That's rare that any politician will kind of keep to their campaign promises and really do anything at all. Also, I think a lot of, like, I obviously know more about U.S. politics, so I guess I'll use that as an example. But it's not always so easy for a president to go into office and make these huge changes, because there's Congress and Senate, and then there's other, like, checks and balances that can kind of, you know, ruin any chances that they have to make things better. And that's why things just stay stagnant and take a really long time
for us to see any change. Never actually wanted to do anything.
Yeah, or they're liars.
They just say, oh, it can't because of Congress. Like, Trump had a Republican Congress when
he got elected,
and he just didn't do anything. But you're right. This guy, he's actually doing things. He's gotten rid of 9 out of 21 government departments. And then he's fired thousands of government workers.
Yeah.
And he is serious about what he's saying. And part of what he is saying is that there's a parasite class. They want us to be socialists. And the large majority of the people in each country that does that will suffer. And that's what he's talking about in this speech.
Just really quickly, I want to touch on something that you just said about him firing thousands of government workers. That might sound mean to some people, especially like socialist, communist type, or statist type people. But you have to realize, Argentina, the economy was in dire straits.
Oh, yeah.
They could not afford to be paying these people.
To be unproductive.
Exactly. And I'm sure most of their jobs, they weren't really doing anything to contribute to anyone else. It was just like wasted tax dollars like we see here in the United States.
Yes.
So it might sound like, oh, you're firing people. That's so mean. Sometimes people need to be fired and they need to get a different job where they're more productive and they're actually providing value and not just getting paid off of stolen money.
Well, I think as libertarians, we look at government as the parasite class because they exist. They exist based on theft of the people's money and mismanagement of people's money. But yet, Javier Milei is like, I understand this is the people's money that I'm being paid with, so I want to make sure that they're getting a good bang for their buck, so to speak.
Yeah,
you know?
He certainly is a breath of fresh air. Yeah.
One thing I haven't completely gotten a full understanding of, but somebody that is really following it and speaks Spanish that I know has told me about, is that he has a one-year plan to get rid of their central bank.
Cool.
Oh,
well, let's see it.
So I'm going to go into this article that Nikki brought just to explain to the people like what he was doing there. It says, Argentina's libertarian president Javier Milei has accused Western leaders of abandoning the values of the West in a high-profile address to the World Economic Forum, where his debut on the world stage met with warm applause. And when I was watching it, every time I showed them, they looked kind of uninterested and silent. I kind of didn't think it was, like, maybe he just walked up on stage and they politely applauded, but I didn't think, like, oh, they love him.
Yeah. There was something that Matt pointed out when we watched it together, who's my husband and sometimes co-host of this show, that some of the people in the front row, or, like, some of the people in the audience that you could see had these, like, smug looks on their face, like, oh, haha, he's so cute, like, sure, when he, after he gave his speech, where he was essentially, like, I mean, you'll get into it, but talking about
them
being parasites and how there needs to be a complete, like, everything they stand for is a bad idea, essentially.
Yeah.
They just had these, like, weird, robotic, smug looks on their faces.
Yeah, I never saw them. I saw a lot, like, not even looking up. Anyways, I guess maybe they applauded when he walked on stage. Maybe. I mean, I guess so. That's what the article says. He said, I'm here to tell you that the Western world is in danger because those who are supposed to defend the values of the West have been co-opted by a vision of the world that inexorably leads to socialism and therefore to poverty. Milei told an audience in Davos on Wednesday. He said, international organizations have been influenced by collectivism, radical feminism, and a cruel environmental agenda. I didn't even notice the radical feminism part. It's just like, I don't know, just stick to your economic points. I don't know. It's not like
I didn't hear him say anything about radical feminism in his, in the translated video that I watched.
Me either, and I watched the whole 25
minute thing.
But of course,
like, I can't speak Spanish, so I don't know for certain which version of his words, his English translated words are true, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I wonder
that's
if
true.
The person writing this article is, I wonder what their biases are.
Exactly. I mean, most media's biases are towards, you know, government and parasitic
collectivist ideologies like socialism. Yep. I mean, socialism, for listeners who are unfamiliar, socialism is this collectivist ideology where the community owns everything, and you don't own your personal property anymore. You don't get a house. You don't get cars. It's owned by the community. So this is why I would oppose socialism, is that I don't want to have my stuff owned by a community.
Well, it's not really owned by the community, right? It's kind of owned by the people in power, the ruling class,
of course it is.
You know?
But the people in power are giving you this illusion, oh, it's the community that owns everything. We're going to do democratic socialism and choose who our leaders are going to be and choose how we don't know how we distribute things. No, it doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like, I can't do a control F on this, where I Google translated it all, from a translation, or not a translation, from a transcript of it in Spanish. So I have the whole thing here, Google translated into English, just looking through it, I don't see the word feminist at all. That doesn't mean it's not there, because I can't do Control F and, like, actually search through it right now from where it's on my page. But I almost feel like they just made that up. I don't know. I listened to the whole thing today. Maybe there was...
It just sounds irrelevant, right? Like, why...
Right.
What did feminism have to... I'm not a fan of, like, modern woke feminism.
Neither.
To me, radical feminism is a different thing. To me, radical feminism is the opposite of the modern woke feminism. It's more like going back to, like, traditional women, whatever.
Hmm.
I just don't get what that has to do with economics, honestly.
Yeah, I just think women should do...
I don't know. Just do whatever you want.
Whatever they
yeah.
want. And, like, this idea that, oh, women doing blah, blah, blah has ruined our country when we have... you have hundreds of thousands of government workers to fire. That probably yeah. has more to do with it. Anyways, but I don't really know if he said that or not, and I don't see it here. I've now went up and down like three times. Anyways, so, and I am going to post that somewhere. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but you can, I want to be able to post my little Google translated version of the whole thing. It was 9 pages. So,
well,
that's a massive document.
Right. I want to be able to post it somewhere, because it was like, I think 25 minutes of, like, the whole uncut video. So, it says that he said, international organizations have been influenced by collectivism, radical feminism, and a cruel environmental agenda. Malay, a self-described anarcho-capitalist and former television pundit, was elected on anti-establishment platforms... an anti-establishment platform in November amid the troubled South American economy's worst crisis in 2 decades. The head of a large European buyout firm came out of the Congress Hall impressed by Malay's speech. Ahead of the speech, Daniel Pinto, JP Morgan president and chief operating officer, said Argentina's new government may be creating a new beginning for the country, bringing an end to 80 years of economic deterioration. He warned of a tough year ahead. However, as Malay's plans require the population to be willing to go through the pain of austerity. So, what he's doing, his whole, like, one-year plan, he has to basically, he's pumping money into the economy while, like especially the welfare programs, and that might sound, that doesn't sound very libertarian, but it's because he's giving them, like, a cushion as he basically makes the dollar die. So, or not the dollar, the Argentine peso.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So he's kind of, I don't exactly know how to explain it, but he's kind of forcing the Argentine dollar's death faster and cushioning the poorest of the poor with welfare. And then in a year from now, it should be all better because they should be dollarized and their central bank gone if the IMF doesn't give them too hard of a time. So, Malay's economic policies have also won initial support from the IMF, whose technical staff approved a disbursement of funds to Argentina last week, and whose deputy managing director, Gita Gopinath, told the Financial Times the new administration had moved boldly to correct several of the misalignments that are there in the economy. Malay's Davos appearance, for his first overseas trip as president, was his first chance to pitch his ultra-liberal vision to the global elite following his shock election victory. Malay on Wednesday said, "The case of Argentina is an empirical demonstration that no matter how rich you may be or how much you may have in terms of natural resource, if measures are adopted that hinder the free function of markets, the only possible fate is poverty." It's so true, because Argentina is a lush, beautiful, green place with oil and mm-hmm. other things to mine and farm, and, you know, they've got their little coast to go around. I feel like
right.
they have a lot
Argentina
of stuff. They have no reason to be impoverished like they are.
Argentina sounds like a very resource-rich place, and when it's, you know, poverty-stricken because it's so poor, mm-hmm. that just goes to show you that it's a corrupt government running things rather than... a healthy government, or a government with checks and balances, or a government that governs by empowering the people to succeed.
Yeah, and to his point, they're hindering the function of free markets.
Right.
Yeah.
And if people don't know what that means, socialism is when your markets are controlled. Oh, this company is making too much money. We got to take some from them. Oh, you can't start this business because we already have one. Things like that. The government decides instead of the market deciding. And the government chooses who wins and loses. Like if a company is about to go out of business, the government will front them some money, which costs the taxpayers. Just things like that, that, you know, the 2008 crisis.
The bailouts that happened with the banks in the 2008 yep. crisis.
In America.
Oh, yeah. And the stimulus plans that went through in 2020 when Trump signed all those checks.
Yep.
Creating more inflation and, you know, making the rich people richer and the poor people poorer.
Right. Exactly. So since taking office in December, the libertarian economist has moved rapidly to slash Argentina's fiscal deficit and deregulate the economy. The IMF delivered a vote of confidence in Milei's plans last week as its technical staff approved a $4.7 billion disbursement of the country's $43 billion loan program, enabling it to pay the fund back for earlier lending. Argentina is its largest debtor, so they have a bunch of debt with the IMF. I guess they asked for some of it. I just don't know what a disbursement is. I wish
I
we had Peekless Mountain here on the show. He would be able to explain that. The decision is pending approval by the IMF's board. Milei met IMF Managing Director Kristalina Georgieva, on Wednesday after his speech. Gopinath cited Malaysia's 54% devaluation in the official exchange rate in December as one of his administration's bold moves. She said a strong fiscal anchor was an important condition for an improvement. And that was what this administration did, which previous administrations were not able to do. The IMF held tense, drawn-out talks last year with Argentina's previous left-leaning Peronist government, which is like their Democrats, I think. I mean, it's their left-leaning party. That's all I know.
Okay.
Peronists. And I'm probably saying it wrong. Which printed billions of pesos to fund pre-election cash handouts and publicly blamed the IMF for an unpopular currency devaluation in August. Argentina and the fund last week unveiled a target for the country to reach a fiscal surplus of 2% of gross domestic product in 2024, revised upwards from a 9.9% deficit target. The new goal would imply spending cuts and tax increases worth about 5% of GDP. And honestly, I just want to read what he said, because now, like, I can't really explain these plans to the listeners if they don't know what I'm talking about, to be honest. They talk about there are some people with concerns about his reforms. Well, it's like, don't you have concerns about what's happening either way? Don't you have concerns about the hyperinflation?
Well, and that's the thing, too. It's like, even if there were things to criticize about his plans, whatever's happening down there is so, like, people are starving, the economy's in ruins. That is, I mean, he's going to have to take drastic steps even try to fix it. He was inherited a mess.
Yeah.
And it seems like based on, you know, previous speeches, the reason why he is running for president and the reason why he went through all of this work to become president is because he was so concerned, you know, like this is his home. This is where he and his family lives. You know what I mean? So it was so important for him to step up and, you know, take on this challenge of trying to fix the economy. And it, I mean, his plan, I mean, it seems pretty good. It seems better than anything I've ever heard from a politician.
Right.
So, I mean, people can criticize it, but what are they doing? What is their plan?
If his plan works out, I think a lot of other countries will either adopt it or they'll criticize him even more because, you know, Javier Milei is definitely a popular candidate for a lot of us libertarians because, you know, he's slashing government, he's doing a lot of good things that we see are good. But at the same time, you know, he's going to be criticized on the world stage for doing all these things because they look at government as a good thing rather than a bad thing. And if he can improve his economy, they have to say something nice about him, hopefully. Or they can make stuff up, which,
right,
you know, people do all the time.
And the media has a reason to make stuff up about him, even if he succeeds, because they work in lockstep with the government parasites to have their cushy, dumb jobs, which aren't really about getting to the truth, but more about reporting what the government wants them to report so they get their paycheck. There's levels to this parasite crap. There are the straight-up parasites who just sit in an office all day, go like, oh my god, if they actually have to do any work.
Yeah.
And there are the even worse ones, honestly, that are prosecutors and judges, and they go after people and ruin their lives. They're professional liars and get paid a lot of money to do that. And there are these other types of parasites that they're just something like, oh, I work in finance, and I finance BlackRock, blah, 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 blah. I mean, I work at BlackRock, and I finance, like, big businesses. And they aren't really, they're just being held up by government. And journalists are another one. They're just held up by government. They're not actually doing anything. Not every journalist, but a huge amount of them, and especially in the mainstream media. Just get told what to write about.
Yeah. It's definitely becoming a lot worse, and we see that happening more and more, where the journalists are in the pocket of big government, because it's good business to be in the pocket of government, because they're going to give you all the good stories, they'll get all the nice press releases.
And it's protection, right?
Oh, yeah, it's protection, for sure. It's definitely not freedom of the press that we should be enjoying here in the United States under the First Amendment to the United States Constitution. It's a way for governments or the tyrants, despots, and thieves to influence what reporters talk about in order to get them on their good side.
Well, we saw that before, right? I wish I could remember what the name of the newspaper was or where it was, but it was that newspaper that where they raided the guy's house because he was speaking out against the police.
It was in Kansas, but yeah, I remember,
yeah, I remember that story, yeah.
Yeah, and then his mother, they raided the house and, like, harassed this, like, 90-year-old woman, and she ended up dying the next day. But, like, this is what happened. I mean, heck, we got raided here. I mean, I wonder why. Like, this is what happens when you speak out against the powers that be, but somebody has to do it. So, I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. I agree, and I also think that the government needs these people to keep people thinking that the government is good. So if the government is so obviously bad, and then people don't have their opinions handed to them, they might make their own opinion about the government being bad. But and they get so in your face bad, but then the all they see is, like, they turn on the news that night and it's the media telling them how the problem is actually someone else, not the government.
Yep.
603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. You can call in about whatever is on your mind. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-284-0523. Learn how through the Family Medical Leave Act, you can leave your job without losing your job. Locations everywhere. Get immediate help for drug and alcohol problems. Call now. 800-284-0523. 800-284-0523.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
USA News Update. More than 105 million Americans being affected by dangerously low wind chills with an Arctic blast sweeping across the United States. The National Weather Service still has wind chill advisories or warnings for today in effect for 26 states. Senator Ted Cruz has faith in the system of democracy, and he believes the people of Iowa have spoken loud and clear by making former President Donald Trump the winner of the Iowa caucuses. It might cost you less if you overdraw your bank account under a proposal announced by the White House today, the latest effort by the Biden administration to combat fees. It wants to lower them to as little as $3, taking the pressure off the American consumer. Corey Myers, USA News.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project, so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream to the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control. And 603-283-6160 is the phone number here. That's 603-283-6160. And I wanted to tell you that Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash, digital cash. In addition to being one of the world's first cryptocurrencies, Dash was the first crypto project with a decentralized autonomous organization that to this day continues to improve and promote Dash. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month for this sponsorship. It's easy to get and use Dash. You can learn more at dash.org. That's dash.org. And on Free Talk Live tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
Riley.
And Nikki.
And it looks like we have a caller. Unscreened caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Congratulations, ANCAPs. You inherited a Ponzi scheme. Boy.
What does that
El
mean?
El Loco, Justin.
Are you the Ponzi
boy,
scheme?
El Loco. He inherited the Argentina Ponzi scheme economy.
Well, we're going to find out in a few years what that's going
to
look like.
Credit for its collapse. And if it does succeed, democracy will take credit. Congratulations.
I thought that you like collapses.
You messed up.
You're so dumb. Like, you're so inconsistent.
No.
Yeah, you are. You're always saying, like, Bonnie, if you care about freedom, you'll want the collapse.
Hear what I said?
Okay, goodbye. He's such a loser. Like, you can't have a conversation with that idiot.
He calls in a lot and talks about various things, thinking he's all smart and intelligent, but...
He's probably, like, the dumbest caller who's ever called into the show.
Yeah,
like, he just learned terms on the internet, and he uses them, and he doesn't know what he's talking about. He never makes any sense. And then, like, when you question him, he just says something like that. Like, what did he even mean? Like, I was responding to what you said, Skeeter, so obviously I heard what you said.
Yeah.
He's stupid. And yeah, it's hard to be the dumbest ever to call into the show.
Yeah, that's like actually kind of impressive. But yeah, I think he might be the dumbest and the most annoying person to ever call this show.
He just doesn't know how to have a conversation. He talks over hosts a lot.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I hear it all the time on the show because I edit show audio and stuff, so it's a little frustrating. Anyway.
And then he accuses you of not letting him speak. It's so stupid.
Yeah.
In the last segment, we were talking about Javier Milei, the new president of Argentina. He won as an open ANCAP, an anarcho-capitalist. And that was like a shock to everyone. Everybody was really surprised that that happened. And he gave a speech at the World Economic Forum today. Today's Wednesday, so yeah. And it was really crazy good. Like, it's nice that these ideas are getting out there in such a wide scale. I've seen this all over the place today. And I really hope that it breaks out past the libertarian crowd and more people see this. I mean, lots of people pay attention to the World Economic Forum.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's like where the big global elites go to meet to figure out what they want to do with their economies.
And I don't know if I'm going to read this entire thing. It will take a while to read the entire thing, but I liked this article that we read in the last segment because it gives a lot of background, but I really want more of this on the air. And we're not going to be able to play Javier speaking it, considering he said it in Spanish, so I'm just going to start reading some of it. It says, good afternoon. Thank you very much. Today I'm here to tell you that the West is in danger. It is in danger because those who are supposed to defend the values of the West find themselves co-opted by a vision of the world that inexorably leads to socialism, consequently to poverty. Unfortunately, in recent decades, motivated by some right-thinking desires to help others, so some are that way.
There's nothing wrong with helping others. It's just, how do you want to go about it? Do you want to go about it by taxing people, by taxing certain groups of people, and demanding that they pay
their fair
share? I'm sure
there are people that think they're doing something right by doing that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I refuse to believe most of them.
Because it's the concept of taking from the rich and giving to the poor, but, like, mm-hmm. obviously we all know that that's not what happens.
Yeah.
Because the rich actually just get more tax breaks, and it's really just, like, the middle class, the working class that's getting the brunt of the tax burden. And it's like, you can actually help people without stealing from other people. Like, you don't have to hurt somebody else
right.
to help somebody that's less fortunate.
Right. Churches find ways to help the poor and their congregations better than governments do.
Right.
And if it was a really important cause, people would be happy to contribute to it without threat.
Yeah.
You know?
So, he's not being milquetoast here. He says some are motivated by right-thinking desires to help others, and others motivated by the desire to belong to a privileged caste. The main leaders of the Western world have abandoned the model of freedom for different versions of what we call collectivism. We're here to tell you that collectivist experiments, they're never the solution to the problems that afflict the citizens of the world, but on the contrary, they are their cause. And collectivism, basically, if you don't know, means, well, we're all in this together. I have a problem, so it's your problem too, and you've got to help me fix it. And people aren't individuals who can decide what to do with their own time and money and lives.
Yeah, it basically does not. Collectivism basically says we're going to manage everybody's time through top-down means rather than bottom-up means, and that basically puts, you know, the individual out of power. And, you know, the whole world, maybe not the whole world, but a lot of the world wants to lean more toward collectivism because they're like, oh, we all live in this world together, we're all collectivized. And, well, not really. If you think about it, there are people who live out in the country, and there are people who live in cities. It seems like the big city types want to collectively decide what the people in the country should be doing with their time.
The thing about it, I do believe that we create a collective reality.
Sure.
We are all one. We are all part of this thing called the universe.
Oh, yeah.
And the thing about it is when you harm other people, when you feel like somebody else has something, so I'm jealous and I am in a state of lack, all you're doing is polluting the collective consciousness that we all have to live in. All you're doing is causing harm. If you are not living your life by right action, which is what you have the right to do, and not doing what you don't have the right to do, then you will naturally be individualistic, you will naturally be altruistic, and he gets into this so good here when he thanks business owners for all that they do. It's really good. So, yeah, I know what you mean, Riley. I'm not disagreeing or anything.
Yeah.
But I think that some people might think, I don't like what they're saying because, like, obviously we all live on this planet together. We do all live on this planet together, and it's not about being selfish. And I don't like some libertarians' ideas that, like, selfishness is actually good. I don't like that idea because, like, if I was a Christian, I'm kind of like a Swedenborgian, and he is all about the most important thing is doing things for other people. Like, when I think about how much my life sucks right now, all I can think about is, like, it's not about me, and that's the only thing that makes it better. Like, it sucks so bad. It's, like, the worst thing that I've ever been through. But it's not just about me. If I thought about giving this to someone else, just being like, you know what, I'm going to walk away. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, my husband got put in prison for selling Bitcoin. If I thought about just walking away and not letting Free Talk Live be a thing anymore, that would not just be selfish, but it would... Somebody, the universe needs this story arc to happen.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, this is an important show. This is an important history-making experience we're having here. I mean, one of the founders of this show is in a prison cell right now, all for the crime of selling Bitcoin to willing buyers. He just didn't fill out the paperwork for the government.
The paperwork that didn't exist.
Yeah, essentially.
Well, I don't think he needed to fill it out, and then the jury decided he needed to fill it out, and it's just really stupid. You can learn more at thecrypto6.com.
I like what you're saying, though, about, because based on my observations, you know, while being alive on this earth, it seems that people that are altruistic and people that are giving are also the same people that in turn become abundant, right? So, like, if you're constantly on, like, a lack wavelength, yeah, that's all you're going to get, you know what I mean? Like, you're constantly sending the message out to the universe, I have nothing, and, like, that's all you're going to get. You're just going to keep getting crap.
Yeah.
When you operate from scarcity, you get scarcity. So, for example, if you're living in a world of, I don't have enough of this, and I'll never have enough of X, Y, or Z. Yeah, you're never going to have enough.
Yeah, and that's desperation. Yeah, the universe doesn't speak desperation. Yeah. Like, if you want to be abundant, you have to be abundant.
Yeah, and that leads to things like hoarding and stuff like that, because hoarders live in this mindset of, I'm never going to have enough. I got to save all of this stuff because I'm never going to have enough of anything. And
yeah,
so
which is still a lack state, right?
Oh, yeah. And it's a state of fear. When you live in a state of love, which is something all of us struggle to do, all of us need to learn how to live in love with the universe or whatever, or God or whatever, and lead from abundance. Lead from a place of, I'm going to manifest abundance by living an abundant life.
And when I was, you know, like, struggling every day to pay bills and stuff, there was a girl that said something about that to me. And I remember getting kind of mad at her because she was born in a rich family.
Yeah.
And
it does feel offensive, right? It's like, are you, like, victim blaming me?
Yeah.
Right? It feels
like
that way.
I had already become a libertarian. I was like, the government's, like, stealing what percentage of my money? Like, you're acting like it's my fault. But everything really changes when you change your mind. It's
absolutely
just mental over material.
I mean, I literally, like, I had it happen to me when I was, you know, first starting up my businesses. I was just in such a state of desperation because I was so desperate for money. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'll do anything to make money. Like, I really just need to pay my bills. And I was just, and you don't always realize you're there. But once you can learn how to reframe your mind and switch into a state of true abundance, I mean, and I'm not saying it's easy and it takes a lot of inner work,
in time.
But it is possible. And like, that's why you see those entrepreneurs who have multi-million dollar businesses. It's not because they're all cutthroat and they're all like Elon Musk's who are taking handouts from the government and doing all these like slimy things. You can truly have an abundant life without being a slime ball.
Yep. And it's much easier in a country that is not impeding you from being able to do anything. But like in Cuba,
true.
It's going to be a lot harder.
Absolutely,
I mean,
yeah.
It's going to be almost impossible. I don't even know if they can start a business in Cuba, honestly. It looks like we do have a caller, though, so I want to let them on. Unscreened caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. It sort of relates to what you guys were talking about. So I'm in my late 20s here. You know, I studied economics. I'm pro, you know, free market capitalism. I went to those Mises events back in the day. And so, but my, just stepping away from like academia, school into the real world. And, you know, living through the consequences of, you know, price inflation, which is a result of monetary inflation, there's a big difference between, like, reading about it, right, reading what Rothbard and Mises say about the expansive money supply and, you know, all things equal, that leads to rising prices. There's a difference between reading that, at least in my case, right, as a young person, not really exposed to, you know, the reality of living as an adult. And relative to now, so my thinking is, I just want to see what you guys think and what your audience think. But the way I look at things now is the increase in inflation, right? The at the monetary level increases price inflation, right? It's just the currency gets depreciated. But kind of relating what you guys were getting at, so I work in finance, and it's, you know, I work long hours, really long hours. And I'm starting to realize that, you know, even though I work in a pretty, you know, good sector, making decent income for someone my age, I'm paycheck to paycheck, essentially. And I'm starting to realize that, you know, my managers and, you know, upper management, leadership, X, Y, and Z, these guys are on easy mode. And it's starting to seem like some sort of, like, you know, feudalism of some sort, meaning, you know, these managers tell me to do X, Y, and Z every day. They don't, they do nothing. Meaning they don't log in over 10 hours a day. For example, I started working today at 7 a.m. Eastern time. I get done around like 6:30, right? So that's 10 plus hours there. And my manager was gone by 4:30.
Interesting.
That's usually how it is, right?
Yeah,
I mean, I hear this same thing.
No, yeah, I mean, do they do nothing?
Exactly.
Do they not have, like, maybe just some maybe more stressful tasks that they have to get done and then maybe, like, stuff you don't see behind the scenes? Or do you really believe that they're doing nothing? It's an honest question.
Yeah, that's a good point, and it's all relative, right? I mean, the skills that they do are people skills, right? So being sociable, right, because they talk to clients, and then they talk to us, and they talk to others in my company. Relative to me and my team, it's pure technical, right? And so maybe that's why I feel like I work harder than them, right? Because my own view is, you know, being able to crunch out numbers is a lot harder than being able to talk to some random schmuck.
Yeah,
but the point I want to make is, sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I mean, I felt that way whenever I worked, like, any sort of clock in, clock out style of job where, you know, and I come from a healthcare background, right? So I was either working as a nurse's aide, and that's like really like the, you know, the grunt work, right? Or as even as a nurse where it was like, you know, I'm seeing my manager, and I just felt like they were super lazy and they were getting paid a ton of money and we were all busting our butts. And it seemed like, hey, like, you guys are getting paid a lot more money than I am for doing a lot less work.
Sometimes I think that it just evens out because of the fact, it just depends on, like, the industry. Like, I'm not saying I know what your bosses are doing, caller, or Nikki's bosses were doing, but I've heard that this is very clear and in your face an idea in the hotel industry, which I worked for hotels for, like, 5 years, and I just got a job in the front desk because I'm not like, I just was able to show that I could figure those things out. And I got a job at the front desk. I was like 19, and I didn't start off making more money than the housekeepers that have been there for years. Like, they've gotten their raises, and yeah. they, like, it's not like I just make more money than them, but if somebody got hired as a housekeeper, I made more money than them because they just started, and you start off less as a housekeeper than a person at the front desk. And I had a good friend who's a housekeeper. Obviously, she was working literally physically harder than me.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously. She would, like, we'd get off work at the same time, and she'd be, like, sweating, and we'd, like, I'd drive her to her house, and, like, she'd take a shower before we got ready to go do something else. And, like, I would not be sweating. So, sometimes it feels like, oh, the housekeepers work so much harder, why do they get paid less? But the amount of stress from having to deal with the front desk losers who come in, like, I didn't, this egg is not 90 degrees. It's 89 degrees
yeah.
and all
has
this
ever
crap.
Happened?
Well, almost. When I say almost, I'm like not exaggerating. Like, wow. I can't even explain to you how terrible people become when they are when they realize they're a hotel guest and you're working at the hotel. Like, some of the worst people yeah. in the entire world.
Mm. So basically what you're saying is it's just like a different kind of work that typically
exactly.
management would have to do.
And not just that, but like, I tried telling her, my friend, her English was not her first language, so there's that. I'm not saying she's stupid or anything, but I tried, like, I would let her stand behind the desk with me, and I would, like, show her what I was doing on, like, just the computer side, like, logging people in. It's very simple. And she was like, I could never wrap my mind around this. Like, huh. She probably just believed that about herself. Maybe she could if she really tried.
Yeah,
but
there's also that, yeah.
If you're not even willing to just try to learn a computer skill, like, I'm sorry, you're probably going to be busting your butt doing physical stuff. And I know it's not exactly the same thing as your situation, caller, but I can't really just, like, blame or like, I can't really see the whole picture because I don't work at your job. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, I guess the point I wanted to ultimately make, which kind of you mentioned there in terms of your own experience, is that, look, I'm a believer in climbing the ladder, right? We all start somewhere, and it's not sunshine and lollipops
yep.
or strong. Of the ladder.
I mean, climbing the ladder is always a tough experience. You got to build. You don't go to a gym and lift 400-pound weights. You got to build up to it.
Hmm.
Exactly. But my thinking is the reason why other people that are, you know, left leaning and support these redistribution policies, kind of what Millay was talking about in terms of, I think what he was talking about more was like diversity. But if we just include like redistribution of wealth into that, I feel like a lot of young people feel that way because maybe they're getting their, you know, first, second job out of school, and they're in the same position I am, right? But unfortunately, the current monetary situation we live in, which is, you know, prices increasing on average 2% every year, that just eats up in terms of your real wage.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I
mean, and it's increasing more because of the inflation that's been going on. It's just
exactly.
More people are noticing it now. More people are upset over the inflation because they're noticing it.
I know a lot of people who I've heard this story a lot of times where someone will say, I am struggling more now. Like, they were struggling less when they were working entry-level minimum wage jobs than they are now making almost double that.
Like, at Walmart, I know that I never wanted to become a manager because they're always like, oh, you know, work a little harder and you might get the chance to be a CSM or whatever they called it, the manager
yeah.
that's at the front. Everyone that I saw do that in like a week was like, why am I doing this? I'm making
yeah.
a little bit more money.
For a lot more work.
For a lot more responsibility,
yeah.
like people getting mad at the front desk at Walmart
but
and
I
have
think,
to deal with that.
But I think it goes beyond that, though. I think it's really just a reflection of how bad the economy is now that when I was 16 years old working at a petting zoo making like whatever $9 an hour, now that my income is a lot more than that, I'm still, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, yeah, I can't. It really dawns on you when you're at the grocery store and it's like these things cost almost three times more than they did 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like the dollar cannot buy as much as it once could. So it doesn't matter what your job is. It doesn't matter if you're the CEO of the company. Every single person that is using that currency is going to feel those effects, you know?
It's a secret hidden tax where they're stealing money, stealing the value of your money from you.
Yeah, and I don't think any sort of wealth distribution, like taking from the rich and giving to the poor, like that's not what's going to fix it. It's like
Because people who don't know how to manage money are going to find that money's managing them. In other words, they're going to find that if they have $1,000 in their bank account and they're not able to hold on to that $1,000 or invest it or save it and add to it, they're going to find themselves keep working on the hamster wheel all the time, trying to keep up with the Joneses.
Well, that's true, but it doesn't even matter because the economy is so bad. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter how good you can invest. It doesn't matter what your salary is, how much money you're making. I mean, it's just going to keep getting worse and worse and worse.
Sure.
I mean, and that's the point is that it's never using the fiat currency. Like, it's never going to get better. They keep doing all these welfare programs. They keep printing all of this money. They are literally destroying. I mean, in Argentina, but also in the United States, they're destroying their currency. And it's like our money is essentially worthless, and it's becoming more and more worthless as the time goes on.
It's definitely like it's not just the terms you think of when you learn about America and whatever in school.
It's a land of opportunity, except now it's full of inflation and theft.
And I still think that you can get ahead, but sometimes it's just going to suck so bad until you just have to push through some stuff because it's going to be extremely hard. It's extremely hard to just, like, survive nowadays.
Yeah.
I think it's also a good idea to invest in other things. So, I mean, why would I keep my money in the fiat currency when I could invest in gold, silver, cryptocurrencies, things that actually have more value?
Yeah, hold their value. 603-283-6160. Thank you for the call, caller. It's Free Talk Live. You can call in about whatever is on your mind. That's 603-283-6160, and more is coming up.
It's obvious. The unthinkable continues. Most Americans know something very wrong is happening. People in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. That's why self-reliant folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should, too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $200 on each 3-month food kit you purchase. My Patriot Supply also sells solar generators, gravity-powered water filters, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship that same day and arrive quickly on your doorstep in unmarked boxes. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. Time is running out to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.